this gives me one more chance talking about athletics and Olympic sports. I emailed somebody earlier this week and told them that Tegan and I had watched some archery, and the archery didn't look very fun to me because the bows are so mechanized that when they shoot them, they're on this counterbalance, and they hardly look like what I imagine a bow to be, which is just a piece of wood and a string, right? Which gives me another opportunity to bring up the fact that at camp this summer, Tegan and I had an archery competition against Josh and Jewel, and they lost badly. They lost really badly. They were terrible and ended up having to eat dessert with no utensils and no hands. They had to eat it straight off the table. And the only reason that I can say that is because my wife was really good at archery. I'm not so good either, but she's the one who hit all the bullseyes and made that happen. We have certainly enjoyed watching some of the Olympics, and I admire all the athleticism and just the incredible stories, the backstories that we've seen. And we've been following a story of somebody for the last several weeks. We've been following the story of Ruth and got to learn about where she came from and this journey she was on. And what makes a really good story is that she started out in kind of this trial phase of life. Things didn't look good. And she was desperate and despondent and didn't know which way to turn. And there was a little window of opportunity, a small glimmer of hope that she took. And she took that opportunity, and she went for it, and things started to get better. But then as she meets this great guy, Boaz, who we've found out has this awesome character, she is presented with you should make yourself available to him because he's the kind of guy who could provide for you and protect you, take care of you. And so she does, and then this weird thing happens, which happens in a lot of great stories, is that there's a second piece to the drama, right? The story just doesn't end happily, but Boaz says, well, I'll take you under my wing if this other guy doesn't want to take you. And so he makes the opportunity available, and oh man, our hearts sink again as Ruth paces back and forth and thinks, I really wanted to be with Boaz because I know who he is, and now this other thing is happening. What's going to happen? And we found out last week that Boaz wins. Boaz was compassionate, and he rescues Ruth from all this despondency. And so we get to see the finale to the story, the happy ending. But this isn't like any other happy ending you've ever heard of. This is a happy ending that continues, that keeps going. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I was remembering the phrase, the gift that keeps on giving this morning. And they've used that for a lot of gifts and a lot of advertisements over the years. But originally, I found out that it was the original use was in 1924 for the phonograph, the gift that keeps on giving. And we're going to find out that Ruth encounters Boaz, and God blesses their union generously in a way that continues to give. Many of you are familiar with the poem, The Footprints in the Sand. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a story about somebody who went through some trials, and they were walking along the beach, and as they turned back, they realized, well, when things were really difficult, when things were ugly in my life, and I felt like I was so stressed out and in distress, I realized there was only one set of footprints. Oh, and then it came to my mind that those were the times that God carried me. Well, this morning as we look at this passage, it's almost as if that author was to turn around and look forward and see that the footprints continue. The story continues. The blessings continue. So let me, for those of you who haven't been here through our whole series, we started out at the beginning of Ruth, and we recognized that Ruth was a committed companion. And we found out that a committed companion continues. She decided she was going to follow her mother-in-law and move forward because things weren't good. Her husband had died, her sister-in-law's husband had died, and her father-in-law died. And Naomi says, I'm going to go back to the promised land, and Ruth says, I'll go with you. And Naomi tries to talk her out of it a few times, and the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, she says, okay, well, I'll turn back if you're going to give me that opportunity. But Ruth continued. She stuck with it. She stuck with her mother-in-law and said, I'm with you in this no matter what. And then we found out that Ruth was also a resilient survivor. When they got back to Israel, there without anybody to care for them, Naomi was in distress, and she said, I don't know what we're going to do. This is not good times. And all her friends that she had been around before she left said, oh, wow, look at Naomi. Look at the place she's in now. And Ruth said, well, let me figure out how to put some food on the table. And so Ruth found out that there was a field nearby where people were gleaning and collecting all the wheat, and she went out there and picked up the scraps and had enough to put the food on the table. And she met a guy named Boaz, who we discovered was a pretty incredible guy. In fact, we saw that he was a generous steward who would provide and protect those under his care. We saw that his employees really admired him, and he cared for his employees. And Ruth sees this, and Naomi sees this, and Naomi says, "Hey, Ruth, you're single. I'm too old to have any kids. I'm too old to start over, but not you. Here's your chance. You should check this guy out." And Ruth goes, she has this encounter, and David shared with us about Ruth, the hopeful sharer. She shared her experience, and she shared her hope with Naomi. She had this great interaction with Boaz, and she turned around and she said, "Let me tell you what happened to me." And then we saw her as a humble servant who faithfully followed. She recognized that Boaz is deserving of this leadership role he's been in, and she says, "I'm going to follow him no matter where." And just last week, we looked at Boaz as the compassionate negotiator, the one who fought for his bride, who said, "She's the one I want, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get her, and I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to put her out there to this guy who has rights to her, but then I'm going to pull out my trump card, and I'm going to win her." And we left off last week that he won, but that's not the end of the story. Not only do we have a few more verses, but the story continues. The story is incredible. And here we, at the beginning of the series, I told you this was written 1,000 years before Christ ever walked the earth. The story about Ruth. And we will see that it continues. This story continues even today. The story continues. If you'll turn with me to Ruth in chapter 4, and if you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. It's on the screen behind me. We're going to pick up the end of the story of Ruth. Ruth 4, and we'll start at verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife when he made love to her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son." I like that phrase, "the Lord enabled her to conceive," because it reminds me that even in good times, he is still in control. This didn't just happen. The Lord enabled it. And that reminds me throughout this whole story, he has enabled all these things to happen. He brought Boaz into Ruth's life at the right time. He brought Ruth and Naomi to the right place. He had all these things happen. They didn't all happen by chance, but he enabled them. Verse 14, "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer.'" So all the women who had said to Naomi earlier, "Oh man, you're in dire straits. You don't look so good. You went away thinking things were going to be better somewhere else, and you came back looking desperate and despondent. You came back looking a little tore up." And now they're saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better than 7 sons has given him birth." Wow, we thought your life was pretty gnarly, Naomi, when you came back and you had lost both your sons and your husband. But we see your daughter-in-law, and she's better than 7 sons. This is better than we could have imagined. Verse 16, "Then Naomi took the child in her arms." This is grandma. Took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. Obed is a Hebrew word that means worship. So here they are saying, "Wow, God is incredible. He's taking care of you." And I like that the community names this kid. They named him Obed. They named him worship. That is something to be proud of. That is something to respect God for. We see God has done something in your life. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then we see this genealogy. This then, the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab. Aminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. And if we were to turn 1,000 years later and look at Matthew's writing, the very first chapter of Matthew, we find out that David is in the line of Christ. And so here, Ruth has a son who ends up being in Christ's line. And if you don't believe me, on your own time this week, go check out Matthew 1. And you'll see even Ruth is mentioned in the story of Christ, that she becomes part of his family line. Wow, this story has changed. When we first met Ruth, things weren't good. She was married to a guy named Sickly, right? Not so great. And he died because he was sickly. And she has nowhere to turn. And she follows her mother-in-law back to this place, and she doesn't know what to do. She just knows, I think I'm supposed to support her no matter what. Things were ugly. And now, at the end of the story, she has a son. I don't think she expected to have a son at the beginning of the story. She thought, well, I guess my life is kind of done. I'm just going to support my mother-in-law. Maybe I won't ever have kids. I don't think I'll ever meet another guy. And here she's been blessed abundantly, incredibly, beyond what she could imagine. And that's what I think we see in this section of the story today. That God's plan often involves blessing beyond whatever I can imagine. So often, when I'm looking for God's blessing, my vision is this small. And I think he wants to bless us generously, abundantly. And he would blow our minds if he showed us the whole plan. It's like I said earlier, that the person who wrote Footprints on the Stand looks back and says, oh, wow, when times are tough, I see that you carried me. But if I turn around and moving forward, the story continues. You didn't just carry me once, but you continue to carry me. You continue to bless me. You remember probably that there was if you were here that first week of our study, that there was another sister-in-law, that Ruth had a sister-in-law. Her name was Orpah, spelled almost like Oprah. So if you didn't remember it, it's Orpah. Now, you just saw the family line, so this probably isn't the best book to get your names from if you plan on having any kids or grandkids, unless you really like Aminadab or Ram. Ram, that would be a good Olympic name, right? But Orpah decided after Naomi said, well, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to come with me. And Ruth said, no, I'm going to go with you. And she said again, well, you don't have to. You should probably just go back and try to start over where you came from. And Orpah says, okay. And we never hear about Orpah again. Never. But Ruth, who continued, who followed, who said, okay, I'm in this for the long haul. I know the plan is good, but I don't know what the plan is, but I'm going to follow it. I'm going to look for opportunity. I know that Boaz is a good guy, and so I'm going to make myself a humble servant to him. And say, okay, here I am going to follow. And what we've talked about the last several weeks is that this is really a picture of us as Ruth and Boaz as Christ, who came and said, hey, you're in a desperate place. There's something you need from me. You need me to step in and take over. You need me to come love you. And I will do whatever it takes to do that, to make that happen. I'm going to take care of you, no matter what that looks like. And here he blesses Ruth. And the same is true for us. As somebody once said, that a pig would eat apples all day long, all the apples that have fallen from a tree, and never once look up. And I think sometimes we can do the same. We can encounter his blessings and say, well, this is good, and forget where it came from. But beyond that, beyond just recognizing where it came from, recognizing that it continues. Because if we look at this story and we see, okay, well, why is the genealogy in here? Why do those last few verses matter? Well, check it out. This was not just a blessing for Ruth. Because who else was affected by this? We see Naomi was affected by it, right? Her friends gathered around and said, wow, that's an incredible guy who's taking care of your daughter-in-law, and he's taking care of you too. Man, you got a daughter-in-law that is worth so much. She's worth seven sons, seven good sons. And then the whole community around says, wow, not only did Boaz step in and rescue you guys, but now you have a son because of him? Oh, and they fell to their knees and worshiped. Said, there's a plan here. God had a plan in this. They couldn't deny it. This was not just Ruth's story and not just Naomi's story, but the whole community was affected. And if we follow that family line out, we realize, whoa, we were all affected. This genealogy maps its way all the way out to Christ, who came for every single one of us. The story is beyond extensive. It's beyond our imagination. The blessing is incredible. I imagine that all of you have tossed rocks in a pond at one point. I remember being a young kid and swimming in the lake. I grew up in Sacramento. And Folsom Lake is a pretty big lake when there's no drought. And you would walk through all the mud, because it's always muddy. It's not this beautiful beachy kind of area. But you walk through the mud, and you play in the mud and the water as a kid. Maybe not as an adult. I wouldn't sit in the mud and play. But I remember watching boats go back and forth. And I remember being so impressed that a boat all the way across the lake, as it went across, I could count on the fact that in a couple minutes there would be ripples because of the wake that it caused. And I imagine all of you have seen that effect where you throw a rock into a pond and the ripples go out. And this is the ripple effect. See, sometimes we get into our place of distress and we say, God, would you step in? And he does, and he blesses us, but we forget the fact that it affects people all around us. That it's beyond our imagination. And I think he recognizes the fact that you and I, our minds would probably just, smoke would come out of our ears and our eyes would go backwards if we recognized this whole plan. Because we can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend the extensive nature of his blessing. And I think the reason that we have the genealogy to finish up the story is to say, listen, his blessing is not over. His blessing continues. Imagine what it is you're waiting on God for. Here, Ruth was maybe not even expecting a husband, but she got one. But maybe she was hoping God would just bless her with enough to get by. Just sustain me, help me survive. And instead of just helping her survive, he blessed her generously and said, hey, here's a guy who's going to take care of you valiantly, who's going to pursue you flagrantly, who's not going to stop. And the blessings don't stop either. This ripple effect continues. The community was blessed. Generation after generation after generation was blessed. Friends, I think it's important as we talk to God about whatever it is that's going on in our lives, whether we're in a place of need and we're saying, please step in and help me, or whether we're in a place of victory and we say, oh God, I thank you for that. You've done an incredible work in my life. It's important for us to step back and take that bigger perspective and recognize this is more than just about me. If he's going to step in and bless me today, I wonder how it's going to affect the people around me. And I wonder how it's going to affect the next generation. Sometimes our plan doesn't match up with his because we think, this is what I need right here. And he's saying, no, that's too small. You're getting too focused. You're worried about this immediate thing. And what I've got is a plan that's going to be even better than the one you can imagine. What happens when God takes Ruth's husband away? Oh, it must have been a difficult time. She must have thought, now what? My plan was to be married to this guy for a long time. I didn't know it was going to end. And then a few chapters later, Boaz arrives, and it's beyond her expectation. But I don't think at that point she was thinking, great, Now I'm going to have a son who's going to be in the line of Christ who's to come. I don't think she could wrap her brain around that. But yet God made it happen. We went through a study of James recently, and we saw in James 1 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Who was the one that changed in the story? Ruth. Her situation changed. Her circumstance changed. Her expectations changed. Her awareness changed. He didn't change. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to bless you abundantly. And why does he bless us abundantly? Why does he throw that rock in the pond and the ripples continue? So that you may abound in every good work. So that you, like the women who surrounded Naomi, will fall down and say, oh, I worship the one who made this happen. And I recognize the plan is much bigger than my own. It's beyond what I could fathom. We look at Ruth and the posture of somebody who encountered this awesome blessing. And we saw that she made herself available to Boaz. She did something kind of strange. We studied it a few weeks ago, where she went and uncovered his feet and laid down by his feet. And we all thought that was kind of strange. Well, we realized that was an act of humility. But it was also very, very courageous. And it was her way of saying, hey, I recognize you're a good guy, and I want to fall under your protection and your provision. What she's saying is, God, I recognize that your plan is far better than I can imagine. This is kind of a strange situation to uncover somebody's dirty feet and sleep by them. I don't know why you're doing this to me. I don't know why you took away my husband, why you've got me in this strange foreign land, while I'm gathering behind people who are picking up grain. This is a weird place I'm in. And so often I think our plan doesn't look like his, right? We all have these ideals of what it's going to be and what my kids are going to turn out like and what my job's going to be and what my friends are going to look like, what my spouse is going to look like. And so often it's a little bit different than we planned. I think it's important for us to recognize that if we let go of our plans and hang on to his, it's like turning around from saying, okay, I recognize that he saved me. I recognize that those places along the sand where he was carrying me, as I turn around and look forward, it's going to happen again. The story is not over. The blessing doesn't stop the moment I say, okay, God, I'm yours. But the ripples continue. He continues to bless me. And I think some folks that have been believers for a long time, maybe we forget that every once in a while. We forget that he continues to want to bless us. And he continues to want to bless the people around us. I think we have to make sure that we are not like those pigs. And I'm not calling any of you pigs. I'm the one who would look terrible in the beach volleyball outfit. But we can look like those pigs who just scoop up all that's left over on the ground. And we forget to look up. And we forget that there's a big plan, that there's a whole orchard dropping fruit on the people around us, on the generations to come. And like Ruth, we have to go, okay, this story is a little different than I imagined. But I'm so glad for that. I'm glad it's different than I imagined, because his blessings far outweigh anything I could come up with for myself. His blessings are incredible. And isn't that a great story? Isn't that a happy ending? Not really an ending, but one that continues and continues and continues. The story doesn't end here. The story continues. And we see that in Matthew as the story unfolds even more. And Ruth's name is in Christ's genealogy. It says Obed was her son, who was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And you keep reading the line, and one of them is the father of Joseph, Jesus' father. What an amazing story. What is he doing in your life right now that you think, this doesn't make sense. Or, oh great, I got what I need. Is it time to expand your vision and say, there's even more going on here, and he's even more praiseworthy than I expected. I love that song, Great Are You, Lord. See, he is great. He is not just good. He is great. And these blessings are expanded like ripples in the water. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the story of Ruth and how we've been able to glean from the different character traits we saw in Ruth. Her commitment, her resiliency, her hope, her humility. We thank you for the attributes in you that we recognized in Boaz, the generosity, the compassionate one. Oh, what a love story. We thank you that this is not just a story about Ruth and Boaz, but this is our story about you and us. We thank you for the way that you've already blessed us. We thank you for the current things that are happening in our lives, both good and bad. Because we know that if we turn to you, your blessings will show up. And we thank you for the blessings that are to come. God, would you please help us to hold loosely to our plans and hang tightly to yours. Because we know that you will blow our imaginations. In your name, amen. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of his forgiveness. This is a resurrection that means each of us has the opportunity to have that blessing of new life. And we thank you that your blessing continues. Pray that you would open our eyes to see it. God, we thank you for the way you have blessed us in our everyday life. And the offering that we're about to receive is just a token of our way to say, thank you. I recognize the way you've acted in my life. In your name, amen.